A recent survey from Stanford University found that half of children living in the rural areas of China lack early children education in China. And another research from UNICEF found that two-thirds of children under the age of 6 living in rural areas of China receive insufficient early childhood education. And I suppose the reason why we're talking about this is this could have a relationship towards the lack of cognitive function in children later on. So let's first of all dig into the research. What does it say? Is it rare for kids living in rural areas to enjoy early education?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say the news was first reported by Caixin.com and has attracted many attention from the public. Now let's talk about the research and also some other researches we found from the internet. So according to the recent findings from Stanford University's Rural Education Action Program, or REAP, REAP, 41% of the 18-month to 24-month-old children lag behind in cognitive ability development, and the rate is as high as 55% among children between 25 to 30 months old. Those children are located in Shanxi Province. So, REAP conducted another test in Hebei Province in the village, 2 hours of driving time away from Beijing. So you don't find it that rural, only 2 hours driving, and found that 55% of the children there lagged behind in terms of average cognitive ability development. And in remote villages of Yunnan Province, which is another place southwest of China, the result is most alarming, as more than 60% of preschool kids didn't pass a test. The test was designed to see if they are underdeveloped in cognitive ability, and 60% of them appeared to be lag.
Yeah, so, at the same time, according to, I guess, another survey here on early childhood development released by UNICEF, it shows that two-thirds, okay, two-thirds, that's powerful, of China's 90 million children aged 1 to 6 still live in rural areas and receive insufficient early childhood education. Guys, that's more than half. That's crazy, right? But you might be asking yourself, what exactly is early childhood education, right? Because that's, I mean, like, you can only really learn so much when you're a little toddler, especially if you're only months old, right? But there is learning going on. So let's talk about that. Early childhood education, it's the development. It's education that is focused on the development of things like language, the emergence of language, how it's coming about, motor skills, psychosocial, cognitive, and learning abilities in general. And guys, this is greatly influenced, like, later educational academic careers of children. So I guess most times, though, when it really counts, as I understand, are the first 6 to 8 years of life. So you have this small window of time, 6 to 8 years of someone being alive, where, according to the Stanford University research, early childhood education has been shown to be a major input into a child's formal education, that is, school readiness for things like primary school. It's shown an overwhelming, quotations here, overwhelming evidence that ECCE, that is early childhood education, can produce sizable improvements in school success. So if you guys will allow me here, I would like to actually talk about maybe my own personal experience with something like this. When I was a kid, I grew up for the majority of my young life, actually, in California school systems. And unfortunately, the school system I was in wasn't so great. My mom and my dad were divorced, and so my mom was kind of a single mom. And I remember I went to this school called Foothill Elementary. Not really a great school. I remember specifically, I think I was going into grade 5 or 6, and I still hadn't known my times tables, these kind of things. It was bad. My mom got remarried to this gentleman. His name's John, and we moved to one of the most educated places in the U.S., Los Alamos, which is a very important laboratory place. And so The education system there was one of the best in the country. So I found myself in this position where I had to play serious catch up. I'll tell you the difference in these years of 6 to 8 and even further, the lack of preparation I had, it showed. These kids were machines. The kids I was going up against, it's like maybe coming in from some kind of rural education system in the U.S. to this phenomenal education system in Los Alamos. And it was so stressful. And the thing is, I think I really would have fallen to the wayside. Because, you know, what happens is when you're not prepared, when other people are prepared, you go into this something like academic school or whatnot, higher education, these kind of things, moving forward in education and not being prepared, you'll see other people who are. You'll feel really bad about yourself. You'll get frustrated. You won't know why. You'll think the problem is you. You won't blame other outside factors. You're a kid. I think for me, the reason why I was able to overcome all this is because I had parents to fall back on, that kept pushing me, that wouldn't let me fall down, that kept, you know, building me up, telling me, hey, it's okay, we're going to get through this, keep studying, you can do this, it's not your fault, you'll catch up. And this kind of base, I definitely think the reason why I am where I am today is because of that. But I do want to say that one of the huge problems these kids are facing is, on top of not having access to early education, they also don't have parents necessarily around. I mean, we'll talk about those figures here soon, but I do want to say that, you know, these kind of things I've had happen to me, I think, to some level, not to this extent for sure, but to some level in the U.S., and it exists, definitely.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing story with us.
For
and certainly,
sure.
I think you do point to the central issue of a problem that is affecting, I'm thinking about 60 million children in this country that are separated from their parents simply because mom and dad work in a different city, so they're usually being brought up by other family members. Maybe grandparents are the guardians. Yes.
I actually have the specific figures here. According to a report published by the All China Women's Federation, CWF, the number of left behind children in rural areas stands at 61 million kids, accounting for 37.7% of all rural children and 21.9% of all children nationwide. Okay, according to this same report, 53% of these kids that I had mentioned in the left behind children, both parents have left, so they don't even have one of the parents. You know, 46.7% grow up with one parent. So this really paints kind of a picture here. Not only are, you know, it's one parent maybe going to work to support the family, these kids don't have any parents, like you said, Hyung, maybe a grandparent filling that role.
Yes, and I'd like to say, even though your story made us realize how important parents are to their kids, I think the situation we're talking about here is much more severe, because I don't even think we should call it early education, because it's like you don't really teach the kids anything but to stimulate them to make sure their brain are developing in the right pace and they are able to accept the knowledge later on in their education period. And according to this news report, the researchers saying that the IQ of a kid, of a 2-year-old kid, would be his IQ, or at least the base, the foundation of his IQ, for his whole life. So before the age of 2, all you need to do is to talk to your kid, give the kid proper stimulus and social activity, and that part is now lacking for a lot of children in rural area in China.
I think what you're saying is to definitely some degree right. I think parents can be part of that early childhood education, but I also think the access you're seeing to kids in urban areas. I mean, I think the amount of kids in urban areas, approximately 95% of young children attend preschool prior to starting primary school, according to Educational Statistics Yearbook of China. You see that being 50% in rural areas in general, but in the very poor areas, the rates go lower than 20 to 25%. Regardless, you're learning stuff every day. And the thing is, maybe there are these access to things like, you know, a preschool that can help, you know, along with the picture perfect image I'm talking here, New Honglin, is of course having your parents stimulate you by reading stories, giving you language abilities, all this stuff. But I think too, maybe, you know, these urban kids get so much more where they will always come up on top because they're also doing things like preschool. So they're taking it to like a very, like a real educational level where these, maybe these schools specialize in making, you know, plans for little kids to study, not too hardcore or intensive. It's not like they're getting tested, but maybe something as simple as having blocks available that they have to fit through certain shapes and, you know, being able to recognize patterns. This is so much more than just education that is stimulated by parents. And you find that 95% of these young kids in urban areas have access to that, where those same percentages aren't seen in rural areas.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. And I think there is a differentiation that needs to be made, as you guys have pointed out. There's two things that a little kid that's younger than the age of maybe 6 to 8 that their parents, I think, need to be aware of. One thing is what New Honglin has pointed out. That is those adults around the kid, or that is the guardians that are looking after the little baby then kid. It's important for you to tap into certain parts of the little baby's or the little kid's minds for it to be ready to be able to use those parts of the brain in a more in an easier way later on, because if you pass that window of tapping at those parts through which you can read or just talk, hugging, giving the baby the attention, it will lose that window. That is the first thing. Second thing is what Ryan has pointed out, that we see on top of that, there is another differentiating point that later on could be widening a gap between children in rural and urban areas. That is the preschool education and also kindergarten education, which we see a lot of demand and requirements, which is getting better. But seems only in cities.
I think, you know, one thing I want to speculate here too is stimulation is one thing, but imagine kids learn things and retain information so much better at a younger age, right? Language skills develop between 6 and 8. You notice kids just memorize things to their heart, to their core. They don't forget them. So if I could have if I could have been in a school system where between 6 and 8, my like times tables, 6 times 6, all these different things of memorizing were introduced to me, I would have struggled far less, because the basic building blocks to understanding so much more in mathematics would have been just inherent in my education with my language skills, with my stimulation, these kind of things. I don't think it's necessarily just stimulation as much as it is, introducing things that these kids need to memorize, basic building blocks, so that when they do get to higher levels of math, just like being able to have their language prevy to them, they have their building blocks in math prevy to them, and it's just going to be, it won't be an uphill battle. It'll be something far more easily managed by them, I think.
Yes, and I think, because for me, I've seen a lot of my classmates, especially in college, some of them are from a humble background, and when they enter college, they actually started to learn about computer, how to turn it on, how to save files, these things that we see basics, and they started to know how to use a cell phone, and that didn't stop them from getting a good job, starting a good life. And the reason I'm saying this is because I think that part of the gap or the difference can be made up after high school or with certain level of effort. But if, like He Yang said, you miss the window of like before the age of 6 to 8, it's really, really hard for you to make up for those kids, because it's like they are lacking the ability to learn, and that is really crucial.
And I think that's definitely a very good point, and I also think it's not just lacking the ability to understand, to learn, but it's also to feel and to be able to explore a lot of those opportunities that could be made available for you later on, but you simply don't feel it, don't understand it, don't know how to catch it. And that is the part that it breaks your heart when you think about it.
Yes.
And now also, Nyoholian, what you've said is, also, I think those are the lucky ones and super bright ones that made to college. And with this kind of study in front of us, we can see that along the way, a lot of children are falling through the cracks. How can this be made better? What needs to be done?
Well, first of all, I think that these two things stem from systemic things, that being hunger and poverty, okay? These are the reason people go to other places to find jobs, so they can feed their families, so that money comes into the household. And, you know, I think it's easy for us to realize the problem, but I think we also need to see that so much effort is being made by the government to fix this. And things like this have been a problem in human society since time immemorial, but I don't think anyone's making the great leaps China is making in reducing poverty and reaching these benchmarks. I mean, I have, according to the UNDP, China has made great leaps in reducing poverty and reaching benchmarks laid out in the Sustainable Development Goals, lifting more than 500 million of its citizens out of extreme poverty over the last 3 decades. Also, from The Economist, China has been a hero of the world's poverty reduction efforts. It's eradicated poverty in cities, by its definition, at least, and reduced the number of rural people below the official poverty line of 2,300 yuan. I mean, I guess at a by 775 million people in 1980 to 43 million in 2016. That's huge, guys. These aren't just efforts. This is a push. And according to China Daily, the UN Food and Agricultural Organization estimates China reduced the level of undernourishment in the country from 23.9% in 1990 to 1992 to 9.3%. Now, guys, in the U.S., we don't have this figured out. According to DoSomething.org, 1 in 6 people in America face hunger issues called food insecurity. It's ridiculous. 49 million Americans struggle to put food on the table. And this is because of, according to this website, because of the prevalence of poverty. In 2015, 43.1 million people lived in the poverty zone in the USA. So this isn't something that's just specifically happening here in China. It's happening around the world. I don't think there's one easy solution, but I do see China trying to find it aggressively.
Yes, and one thing I don't agree I don't agree with Ryan here is that I don't think it's easy for everyone to be aware of the situation, because I think if we can make better education to parents or grandparents in your area, telling them the importance of talking to the kids, to the babies, interact with them, providing them with proper social activity, this problem would be made much better.
A little efforts go a long ways, I agree, but that's not going to make that gap get that much smaller. We need to definitely continue to surge forward and try to solve this problem, because, as I had mentioned, you know, that UNICEF survey that said 2/3 of China's 90 million children aged 1 through 6 still live in rural areas and are receiving insufficient early childhood education. This is a huge part of this country that is lagging behind, two-thirds. This will maybe not be the problem now, but eventually a problem in the future. It needs to be solved. I see, you know, the government taking some serious steps trying to solve it. I don't think anybody has the solve it overnight cure, but I see efforts being made. That makes me happy. But definitely there is a huge population that needs help. And I think we got to figure something out.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ryan, for painting us the bigger picture and also showing us the bottom line, which is, I think, because people have moved further away from the poverty line after you've been fed, now we need to care about kids' growth. We need to care about their cognitive function, the development of which. So those are things that I think along the way of urbanization, along of the way society moves forward, we'll see more and more of these issues.
Efforts, yeah.
Yes, and efforts need to be put into this issue. And I think the moral takeaway for everyone here is, first of all, understanding that between the early days of the baby and the little kid, as he or she hits 6 to 8, there is this time that we need to cherish and try to stimulate them.
Yeah, I think the first step in fixing a problem, guys, and, you know, New Hong Lin said it so well, is understanding the problem. When you understand it, you can fix it. I think that's what we're doing on Roundtable, trying to get it out there. So hopefully, you know, yeah, everybody knows about it.
Yes.
Because everybody should be listening.
Yes. What are you doing if you're not listening to Roundtable at this time? Yeah. And increasingly we see that these families are being united. So no longer do they always need to leave their kid behind in the village when mom and dad are living away. Hopefully that will get better in the near future. You're listening to Roundtable.